Our last day together. I'm very curious to see, to discover what the transition for this kind of retreat is. It will be different undoubtedly than, you know, packing up and going home from a retreat center, because you don't have to pack up. You stay in place, and maybe that will be a support, actually. My hope is that you have kind of infused your home environment with practice reminders. You know, the way in which being mindful in particular circumstances supports our remembering to be mindful in those circumstances. And so that may support a little bit more continuity in this transition. I don't know. I mean, I'm very curious to hear from you at some point, you know, how it's been. I can't really speak to the usual here. I've never come out of one of these kinds of retreats. I can't speak from my own experience of what it's been like for me in the past. So, yeah, there's not a lot I can really say, although I have taught quite a few non-residential retreats, which maybe there's some similarity here between the online retreat and the non-residential retreat. And I do know that with that retreat, the non-residential retreat, that there's a fair amount of continuity, and those retreats there's even less contact than in this retreat. But there's a fair amount of continuity that gets developed in those non-residential retreats, and people are practicing in their daily lives with much less support, actually, than happens here. We meet together once a day, and people go off into their lives and just engage in their daily lives, and people report quite a bit of continuity that happens. And people report that when the container falls away, the continuity falls away. And so that is my guess as to what probably will happen. And yet there are some things to kind of look out for potentially, and the thing I mentioned in the guided meditation around making assumptions about awareness based on the objects that are arising. You know, that the kinds of things that will be unfolding in your life will be more your normal, ordinary, day-to-day stuff. And some of that has been arising here during the week. And yet, you know, that sometimes as the momentum of thinking picks up, or the kind of thoughts that our mind brings in become more ordinary, or the kind of mind states that we go through are the more usual things that we're dealing with day to day, we may have some momentum of mindfulness, but with those things coming in, we may make the assumption that we are not being mindful. And so in the guided meditation, I offered this this kind of check the awareness. Like, use awareness as the guide here. We can be aware of anything, and so whatever's going on, if there's awareness, attune to that. Attune to the awareness. And for me, in daily life practice, that is my main practice. Just the recognition of awareness returning. And noticing what kind of is infusing that awareness. What is being known in that situation? What is mindfulness arising back into? Mindfulness is arising back into may be really ordinary. This is another aspect, I think, of the transition back out of retreat into our lives. And some of you have talked about the more ordinariness that's happened of the awareness on the retreat. And that's really fantastic, because it really helps us to see the way in which mindfulness can infuse our ordinary, everyday experience. And it doesn't have to feel special. It can feel really ordinary. So, you know, as we become aware, it's like, okay, well, yeah, it just feels ordinary. Well, but check the awareness. Yes, there's awareness and it feels ordinary. That's what's happening. So, you know, the check the awareness piece is really important. And the other thing that I find that I think can be interesting, I was just playing with this. I'd never thought to articulate it in this way, and it arose in my meditation just this time. That as the, you know, I was noticing the awareness arise, you know, it felt like, you know, I'm aware, and I'm not particularly clear on what awareness is aware of. So that again, you know, that not being particularly clear about what awareness is aware of is something that can happen in daily life as well. It's like we just know that we're aware, and it's like, well, yeah, I know that I'm seeing and I'm hearing and there's stuff happening, but there's not a particular thing that the mind really feels like it's landing with. And that was the experience as the awareness arose. But the thing that I found interesting and useful in that moment was to check the attitude. So even though there's not a clarity about what awareness knows, there can be a sense of kind of stepping into, well, you know, okay, there's I know that there's awareness. How is that awareness receiving experience? And in this case, there was resistance. I didn't know what the resistance was about. That was interesting. And I think that this can be a kind of a practice opportunity for us in daily life. Awareness arises, and check what the flavor of the awareness is. You don't have to go to the what is obvious. Maybe simply, oh, awareness is here, and how is the awareness? Is it easeful? Is there resistance? Is there leaning? You know, just a very simple kind of check there. How is the mind? What I found interesting was in seeing that that resistance, the mind got curious in that moment. Well, what is the resistance to? I had no idea. And that began to reveal that there were some, you know, physical sensations that were unfamiliar, slightly unpleasant. I hadn't noticed that. That had not been obvious in the moment before. And that seemed to be some of the terrain around which the resistance was arising. So you know, the way in which I generally teach this, and the way Sayadaw taught it, the way I learned it from Sayadaw, are you aware? So first of all, checking the awareness and what you are aware of, and then later checking the attitude in relationship to what we're aware of. But what I found this morning was that checking the attitude helped me to see what the mind was aware of. So that's, I think, in daily life more, that may be a way in. So noticing the awareness and maybe even just the simple, is there agitation or ease? You know, that just a kind of a little bit of, is there something, not right, or okayness. So there was one question, I'll just make a little bit of an announcement. And there was one question that was submitted and I'm not sure there's going to be time for questions this afternoon, so I thought I would respond to this question this morning briefly. In yesterday afternoon's session, you mentioned that non-reactivity in the mind can result from concentration or wisdom. Is it valuable to distinguish which is at work? This question, I think, is really a question the Buddha asked himself. or began to reflect on himself. The story of his own awakening is the story of this question. Because he originally, he came in with the question of, is it possible to be free from suffering? What is the suffering? And so his what is the suffering? Can we be free from that suffering? And he went off to study with the respected meditation teachers of his day, and met two in particular who taught very refined states of concentration. And he practiced in those teachings, mastered those teachings, as to the point where his teacher said, "You have learned everything that I know. Will you teach with me?" And the Buddha discovered in those practices that the experiences in those states had the quality, perhaps, of, you know, that it doesn't really describe so much what he experienced in those states, but there's the kind of the understanding that there was a kind of a blissful abiding in those states. And so the absence of reactivity in those states. But then as he came out of those states, he realized that his question had not been answered because the suffering was still happening. And so in his own journey, he realized that those concentration states were not uprooting it was a mere suppression of the reactivity of the suffering, rather than being something that really would end it. And so he began looking. He told his teachers, "No, this is not answering my question. I need to keep looking." And so he left those teachers and kept searching. And found for himself this kind of exploration of the pleasantness of concentration applied to, or that state of concentration then applied to the question, rather than the state of concentration being created for its own sake. He began using the concentration, and certain states of concentration are amenable to this kind of exploration of what is suffering, and other states of concentration are not amenable to that. And so he found in his story, he reflects that he remembered going into a spontaneous state of concentration when he was young, watching his father doing a planting ritual. And in that, he recalled the pleasure of that state, but realized something about that state was not separate from the journey that he was interested in exploring, this investigation of the question, is it possible to be free from suffering? And in fact, that the concentration of that state could support that investigation. And so, is concentration arising, and are we kind of leaning into that? Are we leaning into the concentration for its own sake? Are we exploring the concentration for the purpose of cultivating wisdom? So I think it is valuable to understand or recognize, and this may be something that happens over time, you know, whether you go into meditation and, you know, you feel pretty good in meditation, but you come out of meditation and everything is just as chaotic and confusing as it ever was, then perhaps the kind of way you're doing meditation is leaning into the concentration. And so that's useful to know if you are interested in cultivating wisdom. So, yeah, that's just a little reflection on that question. And I'll see some of you hopefully at 10. Again, this is optional. Kind of curious what unfolds at this session. But yeah, let's see what happens. And I'll see some of you then, and most of them, and the rest of you at 1:30.